So it's my great pleasure to present to you this afternoon. I'm going to be talking about comorbid disease and how it's measured and how we measure its effects in prostate cancer. Okay, so for my talk, I'm going to cover this content first, just to orient you to the topic, and I'll discuss what comorbid disease is, why we should care about it, why this motivates the research, and then proceed to discuss how comorbid disease is measured, and then how the effects of comorbid disease are estimated, and then wrap up with some conclusions about these findings. So first of all, why consider comorbid disease? First of all, comorbidities are chronic conditions that are unrelated to the primary diagnosis, in this case, prostate cancer. So they are chronic diseases that are unrelated to the primary but which influence the outcome of interest, in this case, patient survival. So comorbid diseases are competing causes of death. And there are especially important considerations for older men diagnosed with prostate cancer. About 75% of men diagnosed with prostate cancer are 65 years of age or older. And so comorbidities are more prevalent among the elderly. Research measuring comorbid disease and its effects on prostate cancer survival can potentially inform estimates of patient prognosis and inform treatment decision making and comparisons of alternative outcomes across institutions. So that's why we should care about comorbid disease to begin with. Well, how should we measure it? There are a variety of ways. Perhaps the most common is a method called the Charlson Index, which is an adaptation of a measure originally developed by Mary Charlson and colleagues at Cornell Medical Center. And it's been adapted for use primarily with secondary data where categories of comorbid disease are mapped to ICD-9 codes to identify, for example, congestive heart failure or diabetes using that information. And the information is summed into an index. And although it's a very commonly used measure of comorbid disease, there are a variety of methodologic issues that are problematic in this approach. An alternative method that is available is the Elixhauser method. The Elixhauser method is designed to be used to empirically measure the effects of comorbidities in an individual study population. So rather than port over fixed measures of effect, as in the Charlson Index, estimates of effect are empirically measured in a unique data set. And there are more categories of disease measured by the Elixhauser method, 30 rather than 19 in the DAO adaptation. Today I'm going to show you the benefit of extrapolating this idea of measuring more comorbid diseases using the individual ICD-9 codes themselves. That is, rather than aggregate them into mutually exclusive, clinically coherent categories, use the individual codes themselves and find out how many of them can be used to adjust for comorbid disease. What about data sources? Well, ideally, we'd like to have detailed clinical information collected from trials, from randomized controlled trials, where we would have prospective data collection, systematic, protocol-driven data collected about comorbid disease for individuals. Well, but this is unlikely to occur. First of all, there are very few prostate cancer trials. Many of them that are out there are still enrolling patients. The few that have been conducted typically exclude individuals with comorbid disease and exclude older men. This makes it problematic for us if we're interested in measuring comorbid disease. An alternative resource includes prospective cohorts. And for example, there's a project called CAPSURE, which is Cancer of the Prostate Strategic Urologic Research Endeavor. And this is a prospective cohort that collects data from through a registry from 31 urologic practice sites and has about 10,000 cases. They collect about 1,000 elements. And in this prospective cohort, comorbidity is measured, but it's measured very minimally as part of a patient-completed questionnaire, so it's self-reported information about comorbid disease. So even when you have very expensively collected prospective data, comorbid disease is usually an afterthought or very minimally measured. A final resource that's available is a retrospective cohort, and that's the resource that I want to focus on today. The SEER Medicare data is an example of a retrospective cohort. Most of you know about SEER, but just let me just mention it's a consortium of state registries reporting to the National Cancer Institute. Example states include Connecticut, Hawaii, Iowa, New Mexico, California. And there are some municipal registries as well that report. The particular states that are available depend on which year you're interested in, because states have been incorporated into the system over the years. Those participating in 1990 collected incident cases from approximately 14% of the total U.S. population, and those participating in 2002 from about 25%. From this registry data, we're able to obtain detailed information about tumor stage and grade. In the SEER Medicare data, the SEER records are matched to Medicare claims and eligibility information. So we're able to use that information to look back retrospectively into hospital claims and physician claims to identify categories of comorbidity. So using this resource, we have created a study population of 54,800 men who were diagnosed with prostate cancer in 1995 through 1998. And all of these men were Medicare eligible 1 year prior to diagnosis. And the reason for that is because we want to look back retrospectively to identify hospital claims and physician claims during their period prior to diagnosis to identify comorbid disease. And we also use this data set in a prospective mode to identify mortality outcomes. And these are very reliably reported from Social Security Administration records. So we have complete 5-year follow-up available for the study cohort. Here are some descriptives of the study population. 5-year mortality is a outcome measure of particular interest for this group. 40% die within 5 years of their diagnosis. Average age of diagnosis, 75. And about 14% of these men had radical prostatectomy within 6 months of their diagnosis. The clinical stage is distributed with most of them having localized disease. 32% had clinically inapparent tumor at diagnosis. Almost half had localized disease. And then there are small groups with extensive disease, disease beyond the prostate, and distant metastasis, and a significant number of unknown. This is the distribution by grade. Grade is the pathologic characterization of the tumor cells, characterizes the aggressiveness of the disease. And the least aggressive are those that are well differentiated and moderately differentiated, and they characterize the bulk of the study population. Yes. 10 minutes, thank you. So this is a distribution of some of the categories of comorbid disease that are measured here. So essential hypertension, very common in this population, 14%. Hyperlipidemia, diabetes mellitus, keratosis, hypercholesterolemia, and so on. So it just gives you a flavor of the comorbidities that are measured in the study population. So what we wanted to do is measure the effect of comorbid disease. We wanted to adjust for comorbid disease, and this is accomplished with a multivariable logistic regression model. So here we're measuring the probability of survival at 5 years, and this is the model. So we have the logistic transformation of the probability that y equals 1, that is that death occurs, given the covariates in the model, x, and that's expressed as a function with the intercept a, and beta coefficients for each covariate in the model. And so for this form, we represent 4 separate models. A base model that just adjusts for stage, grade, age, and whether or not the man had radical prostatectomy. To the base model, we add the Charlson index, and then alternatively, the Elixhauser method, and finally, a series of ICD-9 codes that occur commonly in this population. These models were then assessed for their statistical performance, first using the C-index in a validation sample. So we used bootstrapping simulation to obtain samples drawn at random with replacement of equivalent size to the study population used to develop the models. So a base model obtains a C-index of 0.76. This measures discrimination. There's a slight improvement with the model using the Charlson index in the validation population. Still further improvement with Elixhauser, but the best model is the global model with the global ICD-9. This has the best performance, substantial improvement over the base model, and the best among all of the competitors. We also measure statistical performance using the Nagel-Kirke index, and this is scored between 0 and 1. It's a ratio log likelihood measure. So the base model explains 28% of the log likelihood. So then there are slight improvements using the alternatives, but the best here again is the model with the global ICD-9. It explains 36% of the log likelihood. Okay, so that's the first part of this research, that is, how do we measure comorbid disease the best way? The second part is actually estimating the effects of comorbid disease. Logistic regression only assesses direct effects. And this is a problem because reality is more complex. That is, comorbid disease also influences whether or not patients receive radical prostatectomy. Now, those who have extensive comorbidities may be less likely to receive radical prostatectomy because their physicians regard them as less likely to survive 5 years and benefit from the procedure. And the same is definitely true for stage and grade, which determine whether or not patients are eligible for the procedure. And age as well affects radical prostatectomy. So the effects of comorbid disease are more complex. They're expressed in part through their indirect effects on whether patients receive radical prostatectomy. So how do we get at this? We created a subpopulation of individuals who were potential candidates for radical prostatectomy. So these were patients who had either T1 or T2 tumors that would have localized disease and moderately differentiated tumors. And the subset included 33,000 patients. And we're going to use this population to quantify predictive information. And I'm going to explain more about that in just a minute. But first I want to talk about the propensity score methodology, which this method depends on first. We're estimating the probability of treatment assignment in the original study population using a propensity score. And this propensity score is then used to estimate, to create a matched population among those without radical prostatectomy. And we're also going to only include patients in the matched population with localized disease, since they're only ones eligible for the procedure. And assess the success of the propensity score method first, because that is a key component of using propensity scores. You must first establish that the matching is successful before you can proceed to use the results. So this is a slide demonstrating our success with the propensity score. Here, look at mean age of diagnosis, equivalent at this level of precision. And this p-value is a test of the difference in means. Here, the proportions by clinical stage are also very similar. And our statistical tests of difference in proportion indicate there are no statistically significant differences. The same is true for grade in this population with localized disease. These proportions are also very similar. And then looking at measures of comorbid disease, this is the subset of the complete list. But here you can see that these are also very well, very equivalently distributed between the radical prostatectomy and matched population. So the last step here is to use this propensity matched population to compare predictive information. So conceptually, what are we doing here? We are we're using predictive information from comorbidity in the subpopulation with localized prostate cancer. But that's confounded by treatment assignment. In reality, comorbid disease affects whether or not patients receive radical prostatectomy. Now, in the matched population, that's not a problem. Predictive information from comorbidity in the matched population is not confounded because the matching adjusts for treatment assignment. So comparing the predictive information in the two groups provides evidence of the amount of confounding present in the subpopulation. So now let me return to this last issue of quantifying predictive information. This is accomplished by measuring the proportion of log likelihood explained only by comorbid disease covariates compared to those explained by the entire set of model covariates. And we're using the AIC to adjust for model complexity, penalize for model complexity. And I wish I had thought of this myself, but actually this is a method that's been used a lot. For example, Rob Califf uses this to quantify the predictive information contributed by coronary disease covariates that are used to predict survival. Here is the quantity of interest. This is the proportion of log likelihood explained by the subset. So the denominator in this calculation is the global model log likelihood chi-square statistic, the same statistic we use to test the global model log likelihood test that all of the parameter coefficients are equal to zero. So it's the quantity explained by the subset over the global model. And here are our results. In the localized disease patients from the original population, comorbid disease explains 58%, but in the matched population, 64%. So what can we conclude from this? Two things. First, that the global model ICD-9-CM codes meaningfully improve the statistical performance of the models. And secondly, that logistic regression models underestimate the total effect of comorbid disease on survival at 5 years. What are the limitations of this approach? Well, one of the limitations is that it's not an exhaustive study. For example, we didn't use Cox. Well, we could have used Cox, and I think we will use Cox in the future. One of the things I've learned is not to present too many models at once. So we are going to see if we can reproduce this using Cox models. Another limitation is that we're only considering radical prostatectomy, and men with prostate cancer also may receive radiation therapy or hormonal therapy. So the models are simplified in that regard. And it's also simplified in that the real effects of comorbid disease can be even more complex than our model here. Comorbid disease can also affect stage of diagnosis. You know, for example, for men with hypertension, they receive routine care for their for maintaining their blood pressure. And as a result of that, there are more opportunities for screening. And there are more opportunities to report symptoms that can result in the diagnosis of prostate cancer. So men with comorbid disease may end up having earlier stage disease at diagnosis. Well, what's next? These results indicate that there's something there about underestimation of comorbid disease. And so this can probably be more directly modeled using marginal structural models with inverse propensity treatment weighting and the counterfactual approach. So I think that is a very useful way to proceed with this. And ideally, structural equation models would be used because then we could really fully represent the direct and indirect relationships in these complex, the complexity of these relationships. But structural equation models are not very well implemented for dichotomous response variables. So there are some methods issues that need to be addressed first before we can pursue path analysis and related methods. In the treatment of prostate cancer, prognosis is a critical index. Men who are unlikely to live 5 years are unlikely to benefit from the procedure. So actually estimating 5-year survival requires not only measuring comorbid disease, but disentangling its real effects. And so that is what has motivated me. Death. We're unable to measure death caused by prostate cancer, so this is all-cause death.
Yes, but then there was the possibility, especially given the fact that the mean age was 75, that death may not have been due to prostate cancer, may have been due to one of the comorbid conditions.
Yes, yes. So we're measuring all-cause death.